What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's that time once again on NFL Sunday. Who's in? Who's out?
Impact betting and fantasy for basically every single player.
Actives, inactives on You Better You Bet, countdown to kickoff.
All right, we will get back to all the games. It moved coming up in a few minutes, but the actives and inactives are out for the early slate. We're going to tell you what we know and what we think we know for the afternoon and Sunday night football. Giants and the Eagles, as expected, Darius Slayton is in for the Giants. He's missed the last couple weeks for the Giants wide receiving group. How does that impact things for props and fantasy? I think they're going to run a lot less two tight ends. I don't think we'll see as much Daniel Bellinger. He's popped the last couple weeks. So I think you'll get Slayton and Wandale Robinson and Jalen Hyatt in three receiver sets for Big Blue. For the Eagles, AJ, and they're also down a couple members of their secondary, Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland, which helps the matchups for Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, because A.J. Brown is out for the Eagles. If he's in your fantasy lineups, get him out. That really helps Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. Cam Jurgens, the Eagles' starting center, is out. I think that matters a lot for Saquon Barkley. Remember when the Eagles played the Giants a couple weeks ago on Thursday night? Landon Dickerson missed that game, and Brett Toth was the fill-in guard. He's starting at center today. He's not good. I think it's going to be a problem for the Eagles offense against Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence, and the Giants defensive front. Dolphins and the Falcons, we talked about it last segment. Drake London is out. It's a terrible blow to the Falcons offense and for fantasy teams, including some of mine, including a guillotine league that I really like. No fun. Michael Penix Jr. is also out today. Kirk Cousins gets the start for the Falcons. Jets and the Bengals. Trey Hendrickson is in, as expected, Cincinnati's best pass rusher. He will play. And for the Jets, Justin Fields will start. Tyrod Taylor is inactive. Brady Cook, the former Missouri quarterback, will be Justin Fields' backup. Breece Hall will play, and Mason Taylor plays for the Jets against one of the worst defenses in the league in Cincinnati. Browns and the Patriots. David Njoku is active. David Njoku will play and split tight end reps with Harold Fannin. Bills and the Panthers. Bryce Young officially out. Andy Dalton will start at quarterback for Carolina. And for the Bills, Daquan Jones remains out on their defensive line. That matters. Larry Ogunjobi, though, back from suspension for Buffalo. Buffalo's first-round rookie corner, Maxwell Hairston. A lot of people really liked him coming out. My friend Pete Prisco from CBS Sports said he's the best rookie corner in this year's draft. He'll make his NFL debut today and presumably kick Tre'Davious White to the bench, which is good for Buffalo's defense. Matt Milano is out for Buffalo, as is Josh Palmer. Bears and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson officially out. Tyler Snoop Huntley gets the start at quarterback for the Ravens. DeAndre Swift will play for the Bears. The Bears are down like their top five corners. Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson out today. Niners and the Texans. For Houston's offense, Nico Collins is out. Christian Kirk is out. If Nico Collins is in your fantasy lineup, get him out. It's going to be Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, the two Iowa State rookie receivers, and Xavier Hutchinson and tight end Dalton Schultz, the pass-catching group for C.J. Stroud. The Niners not going to have a ton of juice on their defensive line. At least it doesn't feel like that to me. Nick Bosa is already out for the year. Etur Gross-Matos and Bryce Huff both out today on the Niners defensive line. I don't think San Francisco is going to be able to take advantage of Houston's terrible offensive line. We shall see. To the afternoon slate, Bucks and the Saints. Ton of good players out for Tampa. Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving out. Mike Evans, broken clavicle, might be done for the rest of the regular season. Hassan Reddick out on the defensive side of the ball. Vita Vea didn't practice all week. He's questionable. He matters for the Buccaneers' run defense. And for New Orleans, we'll see if Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, if this is their final game in New Orleans. Trade rumors swirling around both. Kendre Miller out for the season for the Saints. Devin Neal is now the number two running back behind Alvin Kamara. I think he needs to be owned in basically all fantasy leagues in case Kamara gets hurt. Titans and the Colts, terrible injury report for Tennessee. Calvin Ridley is out. Jeffrey Simmons is out. Lejarius Sneed is on IR. That's their best receiver, the best player in their front seven, and the best player in their secondary. All out against what's looking like a historically good or great Indianapolis Colts offense. Is it any wonder they're more than a two-touchdown dog? Dallas and Denver. Trevon Diggs is out for the Cowboys. That helps the matchup for Cortland Sutton. And Packers and the Steelers. Two receivers back from injury, one for each team. Christian Watson making his season debut for Green Bay. And Calvin Austin. Stone cold. What? He's back in the lineup. What? He's going to play. Back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And those are the actives and inactives for Week 8. NFL Sunday. Sam, anything cooking on the board in games we've already discussed?
Yeah, they are betting Miami, probably because you were just telling people Drake London is out. That certainly helps. So the sevens are kind of crawling down a bit. Some of them have turned to 6.5. But then when you get to 6.5, that's the question. Oh, can we keep this at 6.5? Because there are hyenas waiting to lay 6.5 on Atlanta, right? Drake London's important, but Miami's also still really bad. So you've seen a fight around the seven in the last 10 minutes or so. Some people are taking the sevens, but then others are laying the 6.5 and laying the cheap sevens. So we'll follow this until 1 p.m. Eastern, as we always do.
Will you want to be like, I figure we're like the hyenas and Lion King right now. Would you like to be one of those hyenas and take a bite out of Atlanta minus 6.5 if it gets there?
I've been checking a lot of Atlanta and Philly moneyline parlay boxes. That's where I'm at in life. Atlanta to win, Philly to win.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Atlanta 6.5 feels pretty good, though, no? Against Miami?
I think there's a lot to like there, for sure. Definitely 6.5, though, not 7.
Correct. 6.5, not 7, as Sam said. And we're not there yet, not at BetMGM, at least. Yeah, this Bijan Robinson. And Tyler Allgeier is active. We expected him to play. I should have said that. Like, Atlanta might not have to pass that much in this game against a terrible Miami Dolphins defense. All right, continuing on, Sammy, with it moved. I touched on the Colts-Titans game. Where do we sit right now? Indianapolis hosting Tennessee, side and total, and where the betting action is.
I was surprised to hear Thursday and Friday that sharps are laying it with the Colts. Usually the wise guys don't like to lay big numbers in the NFL, but they were happy to get this to and through the 14. We're now 14.5 at most books. There's a 15 at one book in Vegas, there's a 15.5 at another. So you might think, oh, that's a big number. There were wise guys still laying 14 and 14.5 to get this to 15 or higher. And the total got destroyed early in the week, Nick. 45 up to 48. I don't feel like the wise guys think the Titans are going to get a bunch of stops in this game.
You know, I just my opinion, I feel like there's still some meat on the bone with this over. The Colts might score 40 themselves, and then, like, and Sam, like, you watch a ton of college football and NFL, so you obviously know this. Cam Ward is the rookie quarterback. Like, you want Cam Ward in catch-up mode because he's going to let it rip. He's going to make dangerous throws, and they're either going to be caught by his teammates or the opposition. I like Cam Ward for an over if the Titans get behind here, so I do like the over in this game.
Yeah, even at 47.5 you can find, that's readily available. It feels like it makes a ton of sense. I like the line about to his team or to the other team. Nice little pick six. Maybe two pick sixes. Why not? Why not? You get a pick six. You get a pick six. Just pass them out, Oprah. Pass them out.
I'd say I didn't have Sammy P doing an Oprah impersonation on the bingo card today, but I got to be honest, I loved it. I like the over in Tennessee and Indianapolis. Sammy, it is the Super Bowl 12 rematch that the world has been waiting for. Broncos have been waiting a long time for revenge. As the Broncos off a ridiculous win last week against my favorite team, the New York Football Giants. Welcome in Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Should be a fun one. What do we have with Dallas and Denver at Mile High?
I saw this stat earlier in the week from our friend Ian Harditz, who does awesome work in the fantasy space and the betting space. The average Cowboy game has over 60 points and over 800 yards of offense. That's the average game this year. Any surprise, Nick, that the totals moved up from 48 to 51? Nope.
I guess my surprise really would be that it's not higher.
Well, I think it's just Denver's defense, but Dallas don't care. Dallas is going to go four wide and just spread it.
Let me ask you this. What's the best unit in this game?
The Cowboys offense.
It is the Cowboys offense, right?
I think so.
Do you want to take 3.5 with the Cowboys?
I was thinking about just going over 51. There's some 51 still in the market. The one thing about Denver, they have the number one pass protection in the league. So Bo Nix has all the time in the world to throw. Are we overthinking it, wink, wink? Overthinking it?
Yes. Yeah. And look, like some of that, Sean Payton like gimmicks this offense to basically make sure that Nix doesn't make mistakes. But that's all you need against this Dallas. The Dallas defense is horrific. I like the over, and how about this? Curious your opinion on this betting thought. If you like the Cowboys, why not just bet them to win? I don't even know if I want the 3.5. I might just want Dallas to win the game. If that's true, like if Dallas's offense is the best unit in the game, and then it becomes like who's going to win a high-scoring affair between Dak Prescott and Bo Nix, I'll take my chances with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Plus 160, you could find.
I do like the over in the game. And maybe we'll wrap this up on the other side. But, Sammy, the Aaron Rodgers Bowl in Pittsburgh with Green Bay at the Steelers.
The Apple Bites have come full circle. They are betting on Mike Tomlin as a home dog. You know the numbers. 17-7-3 all time as a home dog. As a road favorite on Thursday, hot garbage. As a home dog, though, he makes money. They took the threes at multiple sports books. BetMGM has 3 minus 105 on Green Bay. Other books down to 2.5. Support for the Steelers.
Are you surprised by like the amount of moves in this game? Like it seemed like the first move it opened was towards Green Bay. I saw some 3.5s early in the week, or at least like heavily juiced threes towards the Packers. And now we're all the way at the other side with 2.5s popping. You don't see that often, Sam, with like that level of jockeying around 3, no?
You don't. You also don't see sharp money on overs in Steelers games, but they bet this 43.5 to 45.5.
Yeah, I bet over 45. It's not quite as good as over 43. I do think we'll get some points tonight on Sunday Night Football. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. Sammy will give us a big board update, Prop King, best bets, underdog moneyline parlays, and more here on the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet Countdown to Kickoff, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.